was great, but she knew she had to reach him. For this was her last chance of ever being healed. So she pressed through until she touched his garment. Oh, and right then and there, her miracle was fulfilled. There's a miracle in the making, one just for you. The Father is working even now. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer is on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today. Have you prayed and prayed, but still you've heard no answer? Has your faith grown weak and you feel you're all alone? Don't lose hope, for the God we serve won't leave you. There's a miracle for you, just keep holding on. Oh, there's a miracle in the making, one just for you. The Father is working even now. Don't lose faith, 'cause the answer is on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer is on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today.
Thank you, Jack. Let's all stand together. If you are able, we'll read some scripture, and then we'll pray, and we'll let you be seated. This morning, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And then we'll read the first 16 verses, 1 to 16, and then we'll be seated. We'll pray and then we'll be seated. 2 Chronicles 7. Thank you for being faithful. Full house on a Labor Day weekend, and so kind of like the official end of summer, and I've been done with summer for 2 weeks now, okay? When I got back from vacation, I'm like, I've had enough. Let's move on with our life. And so I'm looking forward to a great fall. Friend Day's around the corner. Our missions conference is coming up. Our fall program is coming up. All the activities, couples retreat, I encourage you to come to the couples retreat. It is in Oceanside this year, a little bit closer. Brother Pineda got us a good place right on the ocean there, so we'll have a great, great time. Looking forward to the fall. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with the instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hollowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings beside the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him. A very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, he made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel's people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for loving us. I pray in these few minutes that we have, as we look at your word, that you would be with us and that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we're in a little series we're calling The Simple Truth, and we're looking at verses that are very familiar. And really, we're seeing the timeless truths that are in some familiar passages. The reason we're doing that is because it's very easy when there's passages we're familiar with not to get the truth that God has for them for our lives. And that's what we are doing today in 2 Chronicles. It is no secret, if you are a Christian and you have your ear to what's going on, that really we live in troubling times. We live in times that are turbulent, and it is not really good. Things are going around us that really, if you have a little bit of sense, can cause you just to shake your head and wonder what is going on. The direction seems to indicate that positive change is not coming on a wide scale range anytime soon. But in times like that, as is still true, if we know the Lord, God can make a difference. Amen. In our lives. Yep. We never have to be influenced too heavily by what's going on out there. God can still speak to us. God can still do good things in our life if we are willing to listen. We can make a difference, not just in our lives. We can help make a difference in other people's lives. See, Christianity is not a selfish thing. And God wants us to be difference makers. What do we want for our church? We come together on Sundays and other services, and we seek to worship the Lord and honor Him and be encouraged around His word and around His people and around the singing and the teaching and the preaching. But more than that, we want to leave this place and go out and be a light in this world. We want to be people that can make a difference maker. That is the beauty of being a Christian. That is the beauty of knowing God, that God can not only work in our lives, God can help us to make a difference in other people's lives. If we're not careful, we get down, we get discouraged, and we tend to see things solely from our own perspective, and that can be discouraging at times. If we look at the Bible, it is full of difference makers. I think of David when he went to the Goliath, the whole army was cowering and they were staying back and they were afraid to go against Goliath and they would all run. And David, who wasn't even thought highly of enough to even be invited to be part of the army, is delivering lunch to his brothers and he sees Goliath come out and really, in essence, he says, he's got a big mouth, someone needs to shut him up. And he said, how dare he talk about my God like that? I'll take care of it. And he did. And by the way, after he did, the army took heart. Difference maker. I think of Hezekiah. Hezekiah had suffered through his fathers and grandfathers had been wicked and evil, and they had actually shut down the temple. They had actually desecrated the temple we're going to talk about this morning. And the Bible tells us as we read through it that Hezekiah on the first month of his reign, on the first week of his reign, on the first day he was king, said, get down there and open the temple and clean it out. By the way, he kind of changed the nation. He was a difference maker. I think about Josiah, King Josiah, the same thing. The country had the wicked king and turned against God. And Josiah said, clean out the temple. And he found the scripture. And when he heard the scripture that had been lost to them, God touched his heart and he took it out and read it to everybody and he had a revival. He made a difference. Amen. Think about Elijah and standing up to the false prophets. He made a difference. Think about the disciples, those that followed Jesus for 3 years, and when Jesus was crucified and arrested, they ran for their lives. But once they met the resurrected Christ, those men went out, and if you include Paul, they turned the world upside down. They made a difference. I don't know about you, but I want us to be difference makers. I want this place to be known as a group, a church, a group of people that want to make a difference in our community, that want to make a difference in the lives of those they come in touch with. But what will it take? Back to the text we read. Solomon had just completed the temple. God had used him to build it. He has a sacrifice, and they have a dedication service. In chapter 6, he had prayed to the Lord, and he asked specifically for the Lord that if Israel got in trouble, or they had troubles, or they had trials or things, or they disobeyed God, or they were under judgment, if at any time the people would turn, and they would turn towards the temple and pray and get right with God, that he would do something. And after his prayer, they have this whole dedication that we read, and the people were happy, and they had the sacrifice and all that, and then they were all sent home. And God comes, and he talks to Solomon. And the very famous and well-known verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'm sure if you've been a Christian for a while, you've heard a sermon or two on this verse. It's usually about revival. It's usually about changing the course of a nation and coming back to God. But I want to make it a little more practical this morning. I'm not one, I try not to be too negative, Brother Chen, but sometimes it just slips out. Be honest with you, if you ask me, will America ever come back to God like it used to be? My answer would be, I don't think so. But let me say this, I think a lot of people can. So we understand the end time and we're getting closer. The things are going to wax worse and worse. But can I tell you something? That's no reason that people cannot be helped. Right. I'm not saying that, well, you know, it's woe is me. People are open. People do want something different. And if I look at these verses, I kind of see a path that God said that they were to take for their nation, but I see a path I think we can take individually so we can be difference makers. But it all starts with us. Let's make this a little more practical, okay? It all starts with each and every one of us individually. What are we going to do? Well, there's three things I think we need to understand if we're going to make a difference. First of all, I think all of us need to understand our place. In other words, we need to understand our standing with God. Well, he says it right here at the beginning of the verse. He says, if my people... Now, I understand he's talking to Israel here, and there was a special thing with them, but I think it applies to us. You see, it all starts with our relationship with him. You see, the reason God wants to deal with us, the reason God wants to do something in our life is because we are his people. You see, if you're saved, let me just tell you something. You belong to him. By the way, that's an encouraging thought to me. I belong to the God of the universe. God is very personal. He is not a force. He is not our, you know, what is it in Alcoholics Anonymous? You need a higher being. He's not a higher being. He's God. Yeah. Let me put it this way. He's not a higher being. He is the higher being. Amen. There isn't a bunch of others. Well, I'll just do this. No. There's one. He is personal. He's not a force. He's not a feeling. Sometimes we want this, you know, most Christianity is based on feelings. Look it. Now, if you serve God, you will feel good, but not always. Sometimes our emotions kind of kick in, the flesh, you know, whatever. You want a good feeling, I always say, stick your hand in a light socket. You'll get a really good feeling. Not to saying that you're going to be miserable. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying God's not a feeling. Some people were so emotional in our Christianity. No, God is a personal God. He wants to have a relationship. We are his people. Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Aren't you glad this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, there was a time that he came down, he lived a sinless, perfect life, and he died on the cross for our sins so that when we were saved, he literally purchased us. We belong to him. That is our place. We are his people. But once we understand that, it goes a step further. If my people, which are called by my name. We're also a representative of him. We're not just a relationship, it's not just a relationship, we're also his representative. When we understand that we are truly his, then we understand that while we are on this earth, we truly represent him. On Thursday nights, we've been going through the Ten Commandments. We saw that we must have respect for God. We looked at the commandment of taking God's name in vain. Why is that a big deal? Because a person's name represents who they are. See, God is not just a title. That is who he is. It represents everything that he is. And we very lightly, and I'm not preaching the message, you can listen to it online, we very lightly sometimes take his name in vain. Because we don't understand who he is. No, we are representatives of God on this earth. His name is a big deal. That's why we are called Christians. We ought to take that name. Now, I know people want to be Christ followers and followers of Christ. And if you want to call yourself that, just make sure you are following him. But in the Bible, they were first called Christians. We're taking his name. It's like, listen, when we got married, my wife took my name. I hope she doesn't regret that, but she took my name. And that's kind of like, yeah, she's in with me. She was all in on this thing. And 31 years later, she's still all in on this thing. I want to take his name. I want to be a representative of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, some people don't like that aspect. I just kind of do my own thing. Me and God, we have an agreement. There is no agreement between you and God. The agreement is in his word, and we represent him. It's unfortunate sometimes that God is judged by his people, isn't it? And I know we could all give stories of people we've heard that maybe have given God a black eye with their life. Let's not worry about that. Let's worry about what kind of representative am I?
Come on, that's good.
I'm not perfect, and you're never going to be perfect. But I'll tell you what, people can look at us and say, they're sincere. And they're trying to do the right thing. And there's just something a little bit different about them. Maybe it's Jesus. Maybe it's that God they're talking about. Let's be a representative of him. Let's not, you know, soil his name. You ever heard the phrase, your name is mud? How many of you have ever heard that? We don't use it as much anymore. It used to be a phrase that used when someone did something wrong, you'd say, your name is mud. How many of you know where that comes from? That comes from a doctor named Samuel Mudd. After John Wilkes Booth assassinated Abraham Lincoln, as he jumped off the stage, he broke his leg. And as he was trying to flee away, this doctor helped him, helped his leg. Tried to stitch him up the best he could and help his leg, and he took off on his way. He was found an accomplice of helping John Wilkes Booth, and he was put to death. And it was just kind of a euphemism. Your name is mud. Now, there's people that argue whether or not he should have been, and that's for another case. But I hope that Jesus doesn't get a bad name because of us. Let's just do our best to be a representative of him, and that stems from the very first one, because we have a relationship with him. So if we're going to make a difference, we need to know our place. But secondly, we also need to do our part. God uses people to make a difference in other people's life. Now, God does the work, don't get me wrong. But each and every one of you, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you could probably think back in your life to people maybe that were instrumental in you being saved. Reason I'm saved today is because of Jesus Christ, but I'll tell you, the instrument or the person that God used to bring me to that point was Pastor Esposito. We grew up together and we got in a lot of trouble together when we were teenagers, but when he got saved, he wanted to make sure that I got saved. And he tried to witness to me, and he didn't know very well, and took me to church, and he took me on an Easter Sunday. And I got saved on that Sunday because he cared enough to take me to church. And I can think of people as I started going to church, and Pastor was gone and he was in Indiana. We kind of lost touch base there, but I got into church and there was people in church that were just an encouragement and a help. See, God uses people to help people. But we have to follow, I think, this little formula here. He said, so what's our part? Well, first, we need to be selfless. He said, and shall humble themselves. Humility just strips away the facade of self. Self-reliance. I know what's best. It's all about me. Humility strips that away. Humility says that any good in me is a result of the help of God and others God has brought into my life to help me. Now, we like this, you know, this concept in America, I'm a self-made man, and we get after it. And by the way, you ought to get after it. You know, you're at work and stuff, just be a go-getter. But listen, who you are, if you look back, there are people that have invested in you. God has invested in you. And so what we are, if we are anything, is a result of God doing, working in our life and using others to work in our life for him. That's what humility says. We see ourselves for who we really are before God. You think you're a big shot? What you ought to do is just really get in the Bible. That really kind of brings us down to where we should be, right? Man, we're just like, I fall so short. I think it's one of the things that helps us. The more you grow as a Christian, the more you realize you need God and you need to grow. Humility helps us to see the role that others have played in our lives. It helps us not to try to take the credit. Pride makes life all about me. We need to work on that. Every single person struggles with pride, right? It's just a struggle. It's a struggle for us to daily keep ourselves in that right place and let God have his place in our life. Selflessness. One way we can do that and be selfless and humble ourselves is to serve, to find a way that we can, on a regular basis, be involved with helping others. That's why we're having our ministry involvement. And this isn't a plug for it, but I'll throw this in here. That's why we have it. One of the things that helped me to get over as a young man, 18, 17, going to church is I just started getting involved in everything that they had going on. Started working the bus ministry in a children's Sunday school class. And it's like, listen, it just kind of strips away the veneer. And remember, we used to go to we get on a bus and we pick up these adults from like I forget what the place was, and you know they were people that were struggling mentally and so forth. But we'd bring a whole bunch of them to church. Man, we made a Sunday school class for them, just helping them out. Just helps you kind of like, you know what? Let's put away myself for a while and let's do something for somebody else. And by the way, we don't help other people by saying, all right, we have all the answers. You know, get no. What can we do? Sometimes they need us just to, what can we do on a physical level? What can we do just to help? Maybe sometimes they just need someone to listen to what they're saying. Yep. We need to humble. We need to be selfless. We need reliance. He goes, humble themselves and pray. You know what prayer says? Prayer says, I can't do it. Only you can do it.
Yeah.
You know why we don't want to ask God for our needs? I got it. Lord, I have this covered. Right? You've all heard the story, but a guy was up working on his roof. And he lost his balance. And he started sliding down the roof. And he knew he was going to fall a couple stories and probably kill himself. And as he's sliding down, he's like, please, Lord, help me. Right after he said that, his clothes caught on a nail and stopped him. He said, it's okay, God, I have it. That's how we are. We don't think we need to ask God for anything because we got it covered. We look and say, we have food in the fridge, and thank God for food in the fridge. But what does the Lord tell us? We're supposed to pray, give us this day. Well, why does God want us to do that? God wants us to realize that he's the one that's ultimately supplying all of our needs. And so we need to remember that. Let's not be so self-reliant that we don't come to the Lord. Yes, we do everything we can to be a blessing. Yes, we do everything we can to do what we're supposed to do. But while we're doing everything we can, we need to say, Lord, it's all a waste of time unless you're behind it and unless you're doing something with it. Do you need God today? You say, you know, I really don't need God. Everything's going good. Well, the only reason everything's going good is because of God, and you still need him. Reliance. Then we need to have desire. He goes, pray and seek my face. That's an active role of wanting to get God's attention. If you have little children, you know this. You ever try to talk to them? You get one of the little ones, they did something, it's like, come here. By the way, that always, come here. And the correct answer is never no. And they come and you set them down, you're trying to talk to them, and here's what they look the other way. What do you do as a parent? You get their face and like, look at me. Right? How many of you ever done that? Now our kids are grown, and now we got a bunch of, we have 5 grandkids, 4 and under, 6 on the way, amen? Yeah, and they're at the house like, come here. And you know, they don't want to look, and like, look at me. Because if you're talking to them, they're looking out of the way, they ain't getting it. It's almost like we're saying, God, I want your attention, God. I'm seeking your face. I want to draw close to you. I want to be close to you. Because nothing else is going to matter. Nothing else is going to work if I don't have your face and I'm seeking your face. But we will never do that if we don't desire it. Do you really desire God? Well, I'm here at church. That's great. And that's a help. But beyond all that, do you ever desire God? We've been encouraging all year long. We're never going to stop. Get in your Bible. Get in God's word. You'll do that if you desire God. You will rely on God and pray like he said, if you desire God. Do you desire him? Maybe we need to work on that. And then the last thing on our part is there needs to be transformation. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. What's the point? When we're doing these things, if we're being selfless and we're being humble and we're relying on God and we're seeking his face, the result will always be transformation in our life, change. There is no way that you can get close to God and not have it make a difference. It's almost like Moses, when he was up on the mountain with God, what happened when he came down? His face was shining. Because he had been with God, and the people are like, man, that's too much. Cover that thing. But that's because he was with God. But I'll tell you something, they knew he had been with God. Transformation. You say, I'm not quite sure how my relationship with God is going. Well, ask yourself this question. What changes has God made in your life? You see, we just live in an age of a new type of Christianity where we want to just stay on the same path. We want to do the same thing. We just want to throw Jesus on board, right? Hey, Jesus, I'm driving this way, and here I'm going. Do you want to hop on board? You know what Jesus is saying? Get out of your car, get out of your horse and wagon, whatever it is. You get on board mine. I'm not driving with you. You're driving with me. It's always going to change. Do people notice that? One of the things that happened, I got right with God, and I started changing, Brother Chim. I remember one time on a Thursday, the pastor's wife came by my house. And because I was new to the church, and they were just paying a visit, and I was there, and my mom was there. And they were going to witness. And I'm like, you know, I've been saved. That's why I've been coming. And I told them when I got saved. And she looked at mom. She goes, have you ever trusted Christ? And my mom was not saved. That was the day she actually trusted Christ. But one thing she says, they were talking. She goes, I don't know what's going on. There's just something different about my son. But what was different was I was actually home now. I had like my own room in the back. It was kind of like my own apartment, but had my own room, and I had a bunch of garbage in there. I cleared it all out. I just didn't think it was pleasing God, so I just cleared the whole thing out. I quit hanging out with my friends because we were doing things that we should not be doing. And my mom noticed that. She goes, I don't know what's going on, but there's something different about my son. I'm glad she noticed that. And by the way, so you're a great guy. No, that should just be normal. That's just a normal part of making God a part of my life and working on that relationship. God transforms us and makes us what he wants us to be. Thank God for that. And then the last thing is this, and we're done. If we do all that, then we're going to see our possibility. Here's what happens if God's telling Solomon, now he's telling the children of Israel, I understand that the Israelites, but that applies to us. He says, here's what I'll do in response to all that. He hears us. He says, then will I hear from heaven. We will get his attention. God will hear us. By the way, God wants to hear us. If we're praying and God's not hearing us, he tells us in Isaiah, maybe it's because there's something in our life, some sin or something that's going on that's keeping God from listening to us. But when we're trying to draw close to him, God says, I'm hearing you. Then will I hear from heaven. God notices. Don't ever think that God doesn't notice what's going on. Don't ever think if you're trying to do right and you're trying to draw close to him that God doesn't notice. James tells us whenever we take those steps to draw nigh to God, he will take steps to draw close to us. Thank God for that. But he'll hear us. And then the Bible says he forgives us and will forgive their sin. By the way, positionally in Christ, all of our sins are forgiven. In other words, our sins, once we trust Christ, all of our sins have been forgiven. We're on our way to heaven. That's taken care of. But while we're on this earth, we still sin, and that sin, if we don't deal with it and get forgiveness, affects our relationship with him. God says, that's all taken care of. If you're seeking me and you want forgiveness, you're clean. That's not going to hurt our relationship. You're getting that thing right. And then here's the good part. He heals. And will heal their land. Are you saying if we do all these things, America will completely change? No. Now, if every Christian that claimed to be a Christian lived right, we'd probably have revival tomorrow. Yeah. But I'll tell you what can happen in a community, in a church, in individuals' lives, that can happen. There can be a huge difference made. Listen, we can have an impact in this community. We can. We've got to do these things and get the good word out. And God can do something. Maybe our city will never completely come to Christ, but there can be hundreds that their lives are changed. Thousands that maybe their lives can be changed. All over this country where churches are and there's Christians that say, I want to make a difference and I'll do these things. People can be healed. And I would like to hope that that's our desire, that we want to see people helped. Are you making a difference today? Has God made a difference in your life? Because once he makes a difference in your life, He will use you to make a difference in others. Let's all stand this morning.